topic today, but through the week, this kind of became my topic, I guess. And my topic is gratitude. I know, you know, this time of year, we just had Thanksgiving. Of course, this time of year, it's the season where we think about that and the season that we think about the coming of our Lord. Unfortunately, for much of the world, it becomes the season where they think about what they're going to get. And oftentimes, it becomes a season of lack of gratitude for many. I heard a man just the other day, and somebody said something about, I've heard that you're not ever angry. He said, well, I don't know about that. He said, but this was his thought. He says, I live my life with gratitude, which keeps me from becoming angry. I thought that was interesting. Being grateful changes our attitude about all the things that are in our lives. And the word is full of this thought, by the way. As I did study this in the latter part of the week, I realized pretty quickly that there was an overwhelming amount of information in God's word about this topic, about being grateful. And Wednesday night, we had a time of sharing of our, you know, giving thanks. And one of the things that came to me, I came to this Psalm 136. And I just want to turn there real quick. And it really, one should probably read the whole psalm, but I'm not going to. I encourage you to do that sometime, read the whole psalm. But I just want to read the first few verses of this psalm. Psalm 136, just starting in verse 1, it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. You probably will see a repeating thought here as you go through this. And if you read the whole chapter, you'll find that repeating thought very easily. But the psalmist, and again, I just picked one psalm here. I may go to a couple more later, but the psalmist, the psalms are full of gratitude. David understood gratitude. And recently Tom had a devotion where he put up the verse out of 2 Samuel there where David says, who am I and what is my house? He doesn't speak the word thankfulness or gratitude in that sentence, in those sentences there, but it's very clearly the thought that is in his heart is how grateful he is that God would consider him. And so throughout Scripture, we find different ones that provide an example of gratitude, but I want to start in Matthew, the 11th chapter. I figured I might as well just go right to the very top to begin with and find our Lord Jesus Christ. And this intrigued me a little bit, and always has a little bit, that Jesus, as he was here on this earth, he expresses gratitude to his Father. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, and verse 25, Matthew 11 and verse 25, it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. It's interesting to me that to find our Lord speaking thankfulness and gratitude to his Father. I don't want to dwell too much on the specifics here, but it is interesting. He thanks God for the way that he reveals things. They're not known to the wisdom of this world, but they're revealed unto those that, as babes, just have faith to believe. And he's thankful for that. And I was thinking about this as I read this, and I thought, You know, if Jesus expressed gratitude to his Father, maybe we should as well. Because if you think about it, Jesus is God. Yes, I know he's in a human body at this time here, but he is God. And yet, as he walks here, he expresses gratitude. And it's probably important for us to pay attention to that and think about what he says. Let's go to John, the 6th chapter. Again, there's multiple places, and I just picked a few. There are multiple places where we could have considered this thought from Jesus. But in the 6th chapter of John, which again also shows up in other Gospels, but I just picked here. Verse 9, it says, he wants to feed the people that are gathered, and his disciples say, man, there's just no way we're going to do this. We don't have nearly enough money for that. And verse 9, there's one of the disciples says, there's a lad which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Jesus doesn't answer his question directly, if you notice that. He just says, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed a multitude of 5,000, well, really more than 5,000, because they just count the men here, but. And the very first thing he does, it says, when he had given thanks. Thank you, Father, for this 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000. And that, you know, again, it's just a reminder to us of that attitude of gratitude that I always think about Jack when I say that, because he used to say that a lot. That attitude of gratitude that we ought to have, even when it doesn't appear that there's enough to go around. God always provides. We've said that so much, and we've experienced it so much, that God always provides what is necessary. And so the point in this passage, by the way, isn't just that Jesus gave thanks, but that he gave thanks before distributing. I'm sure that afterwards everybody could be thankful, right? Everybody could go, wow, thank you, all this food. But Jesus was thankful before it was evident that it was going to supply. And we, you know, we can be thankful that God supplies, and we should be thankful before we see his supply. We should also be thankful after we see it, but we should be thankful before we see the evidence, if you will, of his supply. I know that when the air conditioner went out here, and we started thinking about that and started asking what that was going to cost, and realized, you know, the cost of it. It looked pretty daunting for a small assembly like ours. And I know, you know, Erlene said right away, she said, well, the Lord will provide. And we all believe that the Lord would provide. And we were thankful for that, even though we hadn't seen it yet. But now that we've seen the Lord provide, and in some respect miraculously provide amounts that we would not have imagined, we need to be grateful before we see the result. The result is easy, right? After you see it, when God does something for you, that's easy. But it's being thankful before. And this is the thing that I found about Jesus, that he is thankful. Go to the 11th chapter of John. You know this passage here. This is a passage about Lazarus when he died. In verse 39 of this chapter 11, John chapter 11 and verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Well, wait a minute. He hadn't even said anything yet. He hadn't asked anything yet. And again, this is the interesting thing to me. Jesus, who you would think, well, he should expect the Father to hear him, right? He's the beloved Son. But again, his demonstration of the gratitude. He says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And he says, I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus speaks gratitude to his Father for hearing him. Remember, Jesus, if you will, deserved to be heard by the Father. Just think about the fact that the Father hears us. How grateful should we be that we know that the Father hears us when we call upon him? And so Jesus is a great example for us. And then we go further into, let's go to Mark this time. Matthew. Looking at the wrong place on my paper here. Matthew 26. And we'll probably hear this passage later, but I'm just going to read one verse here. Well, I'm not going to read just one verse, sorry. Verse 26 of Matthew 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. This is especially interesting because Jesus knows the meaning of this as he's doing this. And it says he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them. He knew what that cup meant, what it signified. And yet he gave thanks. And so, again, our great example, Jesus gives thanks. And there's many places where Jesus gives thanks. I just wanted us to consider the fact that he is an example to us. As he walked here and these things were recorded for our benefit, Jesus demonstrates to us an attitude of gratitude in a way that we should consider. Now I want to think about somebody else. Let's go to Daniel, the 6th chapter. Daniel teaches us a good lesson too. You remember in this 6th chapter, they're out to get Daniel, and so they cunningly convinced the king to sign a decree. The decree was that whoever should ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. That's in the 7th verse of the 6th chapter. And in verse 8 of this chapter, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. It is interesting, by the way, these people, they were pretty, I don't know, I hate to use the word savage, but they were very terrible people. But they had one thing, man, when the law was signed, that was it. It didn't get changed. And these men knew this, and so they said, just sign the law, you know. And they knew they only needed 30 days. Because it wasn't going to take that long to get Daniel. So he just needed 30 days. And after that, it can just go away. But verse 10 is what really matters. See, verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. The law was clearly intended to snare Daniel. And Daniel could easily have avoided all of this. All he had to do was just not do this, you know, where people could see him, or, you know, just don't pray for 30 days. I mean, come on. You know, how hard could that be, right? But see, Daniel's, it wasn't in his mind to do that. Every day he prayed, 3 times a day. And even after the law was signed, it says he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He could have been complaining. I was thinking about this particular passage earlier in this week when I was just thinking about again, how many today in this country are concerned about where the laws are headed. We might eventually be unable to do certain things the way we've done them before. And there's concern about that. But you know, Daniel wasn't concerned. He just prayed and gave thanks. It's a good example for us to think about. Our God knows all the things that are happening and all the things that are going to happen. And we can thank him. Again, we don't know what the results always are going to be, but we can thank him before we see the results. Now, at the end of all of this, by the way, Daniel came out pretty good. He was unscathed in the lion's den, and the men that were against him, they were thrown in the lion's den. I suppose, you know, at that point, it'd be easy to give thanks, right? Thank you, Lord, for saving me from the lions and for taking care of my enemies. But see, Daniel was thankful when he didn't know that was going to be the outcome. He didn't know that was going to be the outcome. He just knew that God would take care of things. And so we also ought to have a gratitude that is prior to understanding or seeing the results of what God is going to do. There were many others, and I guess I decided kind of to limit it a little bit because I wasn't sure how long this was going to take me to get through. But there are many others in the scripture. And again, David comes to mind, and I thought about going back to that, but we just had that. But David was a man that was, he was so grateful all the time. I was going to write that one down, and I didn't. In 2 Chronicles, as they're getting ready to do the temple, I'll just relate this to you. You can go look it up. They're getting ready to all the stuff together for the temple. And David was told he couldn't build the temple, but he could gather the stuff. And he did. And they're dedicating all this, and he's standing there, and he's looking at all that's been gathered. And he says, I thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to give willingly of your own. And you know, there was a lot of people that probably gave that maybe didn't have as much. And David gave willingly all that he could. But his recognition was that it belonged to the Lord anyway. And his thankfulness wasn't just for the stuff that was gathered. His thankfulness was that God allowed them to give willingly. Isn't that interesting? That he was thankful that God allowed them to give willingly. And Paul speaks about giving willingly to the Corinthian saints. And we've had that not too long ago. But if God puts it in our heart to give willingly, we should be thankful for that as well. There's so many things. You know, I was looking through this, and if you have like a topical type dictionary thing, you can look up. I think the word I looked up was thankfulness, and there's just this huge list, all sorts of things throughout Scripture. And I just decided I set that aside because I just couldn't. It was too overwhelming, and I couldn't do that. There's so many things to be thankful for, but it's good for us to give thanks. Not just good in the sense that, well, God deserves it, so we should do it, but it's good for us. And I'm not getting this through very good, I guess. It's good for us. You know what I mean? Being thankful, it's good for you. It's important to give thanks to God, but it's actually good for you. People that are grateful and thankful have less stress and are happier. Sometimes we don't like to be thankful. Sometimes things happen and we don't want to be thankful for those things. But we're encouraged to give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's turn to Colossians. I want to read a couple of these. Colossians, the third chapter. It's interesting to me that God created us in a way that being thankful is actually good for us. I find that interesting. (Clears throat) He wants his creation to be grateful for what he has done. And there's so much. Actually, before we do this, let's just go to Romans real quick. Romans, the first chapter. I just want to read something here because this might help you understand something. In Romans, the first chapter, in verse 21, it says this. This is speaking of unregenerate man. It says, Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is the condition of man, of unregenerate man. It says, they knew God, or they knew he existed, because his, if you read right above this, by the way, it says it's clearly seen from his creation. But they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. If you just look at creation and consider what God has done, and I've said this numerous times now, just consider the details of what God has done for us. That alone is reason to be thankful. Just by itself, that's reason to be thankful. Now, as God's children who have experienced God's grace and salvation, we have so much more to be thankful for. But at the very least, but see, unbelieving man is not thankful to God. Sometimes they're thankful to themselves, but they're not thankful to God. But we need to be thankful, and not just in the good times, and not just for the things that look like they're going our way, but in all things. In Colossians, the third chapter, this is where I was headed before I got detoured there. I think I'll read verses 16 and 17 in the third chapter of Colossians. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's something to think about. And while we're doing it, giving thanks to him. I mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Also in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter in verse 19. Well, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have much to be thankful for. For whatever things are in our lives that appear that we don't have to be thankful for. For each one of those things, there's 100 more that we are to be thankful for. But you know, we're supposed to be thankful even for the trials, even for the afflictions. And again, I always go back to Job when I think about trials and afflictions. And it seems like Job and maybe Paul suffered so much. And Job, after all of his stuff was taken and his kids were all gone, it says he bowed down and worshiped. That's a form of gratitude, a form of thanksgiving to God. He bowed down and worshiped. And when his wife said, you should just curse God and die, he said, should we receive good at the hand of God and should we not receive evil? Now, we know that evil was not coming from the hand of God. But you know what? Job viewed everything in his life as coming from God. And that's okay. And it turned out it wasn't all that evil, even though that's the way it appeared from human vantage point. Sometimes we have to give thanks by faith. We give thanks by faith. Because the situation in front of us may not look like it deserves gratitude. And so our gratefulness sometimes is by faith. One last thing I want to touch on before I finish this up. Like I said, there was so much of this, and I tried to kind of condense it down. Is this thought in Psalms 35, the 35th Psalm. Verse 18, Psalm 35 and verse 18. He says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. God wants us to express our gratitude, yes, both in our private prayers and our fellowship with Him, but also amongst others. Yes. Amongst others. Yes. He says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. To express to others the gratefulness that we have for God's amazing grace, for God's mercy, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And in Psalm 30, verse 4, I'm not going to turn there, but it says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Oftentimes, the thought is, you know, we are grateful for things that are done for us or given to us or so on, right? Somebody gives me something, I express gratitude. Somebody does something for me, I express gratitude. But there's also a gratitude that should be in our hearts just for who God is. Just for who God is. He says, give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. There are many, many things that God has done for us. And for every one of those, we ought to be exceedingly grateful. Paul says, thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift of His Son. There is much for us to be thankful for, but our gratitude should not necessarily just be based on the things that are done for us and the things that are given to us. But grateful for a God who is holy and righteous and just and loving and merciful. And we could go on and on with God's attributes. That should elicit gratitude from us. And you know, when that comes into our lives, when we are grateful in that way, much like David, recognizing who am I and grateful in that way, again, it is beneficial to us as well. God wants to hear our gratitude, and it's important for us to do that. But when we express, and especially when we express it with a true attitude of gratitude, then it's also good for us as well. It always amazes me. God, you know, he does above and beyond always what we think. He's not just looking out for Himself, but He's made us in a way that expressing gratitude is good for us. And we have so much to be grateful for. Why would we not express that? I appreciate that we have this time of the year where we think about this in a sense, a season of Thanksgiving, if you will, that we think about that and we kind of take the time, hopefully, to meditate on that a little bit, because we need to be reminded of these things. The enemy wants us to lose sight of that. And around us is a culture that has really lost sight of that. There's so little gratitude these days. People expect things. They believe that they deserve certain things and so on. And it's easy for us to get distracted with that. And so we need to be reminded from God's word that gratitude is something that he works in our lives. See, Jesus expressed gratitude to his Father. And that was an example for us. But it's also, we need to remember, we have the life of Christ in us. We have the life of Christ in us. And that is how gratitude truly comes to be in our lives. Not just something that we do on the exterior to make people feel good or to placate people, but truly it's inside. And again, that's where that attitude part comes from. You can teach a child to say thank you and please and so on, right? We can teach those kinds of manners that we say. But I can't force that child to really feel that gratitude. When we were kids, sometimes, when we had were fighting or something, and that would tell us to, make up and hug your brother and make up. And you would do that because you were told to do it. But it wasn't necessarily in your heart to do that. But the life of Christ in us, it works an attitude of gratitude inside us. Not just a words that we say, which is good to say the words. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to belittle that. But it's good to say the words. But it's even better when those words come from truly deep inside, where we really feel a gratitude. I for one, am very, very grateful. I could go on and on. We talked about this Wednesday night. We could just go on and on and on for hours about how grateful, what we're grateful for and how grateful we are and so on. But it's also expressed in our lives. We say we're grateful for what God has done. Does our life show that? I'll end with that. Any questions or comments this morning? Yes.
That I am just in awe because they were the exact chapters and the exact verses. So I'm taking it from the Lord. That's what he has for me. That I'm really thankful that he
Amen. Does
that.
Yes.
How that works with you guys, but he does that to me all the time.
Yes.
And it may not be that same week, but it's within a short time span that he just really lets me know that whatever he's been dealing with me is from him.
Amen.
And I need to listen.
Yes.
I heard the same thing from Brother Elmer Clark. He said he would have a question in his mind, and he would be searching the scriptures during the week to find what the answer is, and he said he'd come to
answer was given.
And another thing that always impressed me was when when he laid hands upon them, he always started, Lord, thank you for meeting this need.
Yes, yes.
That's how he began his prayer.
That's right.
Sometimes he knew what the need was, sometimes he didn't, but he always said, Lord, thank you for meeting this need.
Yes, amen. That's the example that Jesus gives us, isn't it? Yes.
We should
thank the Lord for meeting it. That's right. Before we see it. Amen. Yes, that attitude of gratitude is so important. It's just, it should just permeate our lives. Amen. So thankful. God is so good. The way he deals with us. So patient. The way he deals with us. So thankful. Let's stand up.